Good morning, Southeast Minnesota. It is episode 31. Today is Wednesday, July 1. So Josh, it's kind of crazy. We turned the calendar into July here, a little hard to believe. But nonetheless, this crop is sitting at a really nice place as we move into the month of July here, which I think just kind of leads me into, I think it's always great to kick off maybe where we're sitting GDU-wise across Southeast Minnesota.
Yeah, you mentioned it's July. It certainly felt like it yesterday and this morning out there in Milwaukee Fields. This week it's been a little uncomfortable, but it is great to see the progress. And, you know, looking at GDUs in Preston Alley, we're sitting at 939 to date. That's plus 78 from the normal, and that's going to probably really progress here looking at the forecast. Looking forward 14 days, we're going to probably be sitting around 1,300, a little over 1,300. As you progress that out, Allie, you know, looking at GDUs on the first planted corn, we'll definitely be seeing tassels here in 2 weeks when we're doing the show likely. And yeah, exciting a time. Things are progressing fast, which, you know, personally, I kind of like this progression. I'm just a big believer that here in Southeast Minnesota that I never want to get the first 2 weeks of July, which is always big GDU accumulation. If you kick off that first 2 weeks cool, it's really hard to catch up. So for me, I'm kind of excited with the progress we got coming here.
Well, it's nice too. You think back to last year, we were just hoping that we could get some of this corn tasseled by the 4th of August so we could make some of these fungicide applications. So the fact that in a couple of weeks we have some that are going to be ready to go, that's a really nice place to be sitting. Another thing that I think is nice to call out as we move into maybe where we're sitting corn stage wise. So a lot of our corn has moved into V10 plus. So once we make that transition to V10 on, we're going to shift to, you're going to need about 50 GDUs per leaf collar or per leaf that we're adding onto those plants. So you look at about every 2 to 3 days, we're going to be putting on a new leaf. So just another way to look at how quickly this crop continues to progress paired with this nice heat that we have going on. But on the soybean side of things, from your observations, where are we maybe sitting?
Yeah, I'm going to jump into that. I was just pounding my calculator here when you said 50 GDUs, and I think over the next few days here, that's going to be like a new leaf every like 47 hours or something like that. But it's just crazy how fast it's going to go. And yeah, soybean wise too, we were planted pretty early, Allie. A lot of our corn got wrapped up in April there, jumped right into beans, a lot of April planted beans. And even up to, I was in some group twos yesterday, really seeing good flowering well into R1. Which is good to see. I think we'll see some pod formation on the lower nodes on the early beans here really quick. And, you know, really we got to watch, you know, Allie, where we maybe got some group ones that were planted in April if we are going to do fungicide on the soybeans. You know, R3 is going to come pretty quick. I got to go look at some of them here this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of those beans could be touching R3 in maybe 10 to 12 days. I got to get out there and look at a few more, but seeing how much the group twos are flowering today, I assume those early beans are really progressing nice. And it's kind of an exciting thing to see this much flowering in June. I know we're rolling into actually July now, but that's a long time to fill grain, a long time to harvest sunshine. And, you know, if we can fill grain on group twos that started flowering in late June all the way through early September, that's usually a good recipe for success.
I think beans in general, you look out across some of these fields and just some really great potential out there, which is nice to see on the soybean side of things too. But sticking with maybe the soybean theme here, kind of on the list of most common calls and text messages both this week, and I know we talked about this last week, has been cupped soybean leaves. And I think in some situations, and you know, it can be easy to point our fingers in one particular direction, but in a lot of these cases, I think it's really important to ask the right questions, look for some of the patterns in some of these fields to maybe really hone in on what's actually going on here. Any thoughts on your, from your observations, you know, maybe what are some commonalities out there?
Yeah, commonalities of, there's a lot of it, and it's really not any flavor of soybean or trait package. I'm seeing cut beans from conventional to straight Liberty to extend to enlist. You know, so there's obviously a lot of different things going on there, and I don't think it's any one factor. I think certainly, you know, we do maybe have even some drift from corn that's gotten away from us. I think there's a lot of sprayer contamination things, just looking at some things that we got to work through. A lot of different things going on there. I'm still trying to kind of get my head around some of it. I have a few head scratchers that I really can't figure out why they're cupping. And I think we all have a few of those, but you know, we did have some challenging weather here to spray beans here the last couple of weeks. And you know, some of these herbicide applications, I fear we maybe were out in the wind a little bit, but we'll have to work through it. I don't see anything, you know, catastrophic, but maybe, you know, last year I didn't really feel like we had a lot of it, and this year we're seeing a whole lot more of it.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed too, I mean, you can expect variety differences, just like what we see in corn varieties. These soybean varieties are going to handle herbicide damage a little bit differently, so have observed that in a few different fields. And then just again, just ask questions on what herbicides have been applied, look for patterns in the field. You made a call out to this, there are some sprayer tank contamination or drift maybe issues going on across the countryside, but ask the right questions and ultimately we'll get to the bottom, hopefully in most cases. But coming out of break, Josh, we're going to shift focus a little bit more just to kind of quick hitting insect updates and then maybe a little bit on our new Pioneer Seeds threat ID.